Hare Krishna. So we welcome you to today's program, which is taking place on a most auspicious day, the appearance day of Srivas Pandit. Is it mixed? Srivas Pandit is one of the members of the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas, Adi Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda. It is described that in the age of Kali, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balaram came as Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, Mahavishnu came as Advaita Acharya, Srimati Radharani, incarnated as Gadadhar Pandit, and Narada Muni incarnated as Srivas Pandit. Panchatattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avatara Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Panchatattva Atmakam, they're actually one, they're all together one entity on the absolute platform. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Bhakta Rupa is Lord Chaitanya, he's Krishna in the form of a devotee. Nityananda Prabhu is Swarupakam, the form of the devotee. Bhakta Avatara, Advaita Acharya's avatar of Mahavishnu. Bhaktakyam, Srivas is a devotee, pure devotee. And Bhakta Shaktikam, Gadadhar Pandit is the devotional energy. Srimati Radharani. So, in the Adi Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes the tree of Lord Chaitanya. It's a very mysterious tree. The tree itself is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the gardener who tends to the tree. And just as any tree has a trunk and limbs and branches, so does the Chaitanya tree. And those limbs and branches and leaves are devotees. They're the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that he is just enumerating the list of devotees for his own purification, just to glorify them. And he cannot distinguish between higher and lower. He wants to glorify all of them. And Srila Prabhupada remarks that this is the attitude of a pure devotee. A pure devotee respects all devotees. He doesn't distinguish that some should be respected and some should not be respected. He respects all of them. And he also mentions that ISKCON is also a branch of the Chaitanya tree. I mean, ISKCON really, we would say that Prabhupada is a branch. of the Chaitanya tree, but in his humility, he says ISKCON is a branch. And so all the devotees in ISKCON who are attached to ISKCON, they're also leaves on the Chaitanya tree. So we should also respect them and honor them. And after giving the introduction to the Chaitanya tree, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins to describe the devotees. And the first devotee he describes is Srivas Thakur. So I will just read a few verses, and then we will discuss more. I'll read all the verses just for my own purification. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 10, the trunk, branches, and sub-branches of the Chaitanya tree. This chapter describes the branches of the tree named Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 1. Sri Chaitanya Padamboja Madhupebhyo Namo Namaha Katanchid Ashraya Dyesham Swapitan Ganda Bhagbhavet. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto the bee-like devotees who always taste the honey of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even a doggish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The example of a dog is very significant in this connection. A dog naturally does not become a devotee at any time. But still, it is sometimes found that a dog of a devotee gradually becomes a devotee also. We have actually seen that a dog has no respect even for the tulsi plant. Indeed, a dog is especially inclined to pass urine on the tulsi plant. Therefore, the dog is a number one non-devotee. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is so strong that even a dog-like non-devotee can gradually become a devotee by the association of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Shivananda Sen, a great householder devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, attracted a dog on the street while going to Jagannath Puri. The dog began to follow him and ultimately went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was liberated. Similarly, cats and dogs in the household of Srivas Thakur were also liberated. Cats and dogs and other animals are not expected to become devotees, but in the association of a pure devotee, they are also delivered. So this is a very important verse to begin the description of the chapter on the Lord Chaitanya tree, because the tree describes the devotees. And here Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami glorifies the power of the devotees, that by their power even a dog-like non-devotee can become a devotee and taste the lotus flower, become like bees tasting the nectar at the lotus feet of the Lord. Very soon, on July 4th this year, we observe the Jagannath Rath Yatra. And the same date is also the disappearance day of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami and Srila Shivananda Sen. It's mentioned here that Shivananda Sen, every year he would take a party of devotees from Bengal to Orissa for the Rath Yatra. And one year a dog joined the party. And Shivananda Sen was so merciful that he accepted the dog as part of their party. And the dog was attached to the party. But he accepted the dog as part of the party so much so that when they had to cross a river by boat, he paid the boatman the extra fare to accommodate the dog. So one day Shivananda Sen had to leave the party to attend to some work, and he gave strict instructions to one of his assistants to feed the dog. But somehow the assistant forgot. And when Shivananda Sen came back, he asked, "Did you feed the dog?" And the devotee said, "No, I forgot." Then Shivananda Sen, you know, inquired, "Where is the dog?" And they couldn't find the dog. The dog had left. So Shivananda Sen sent out a search party to find the dog. But they couldn't find the dog. And he felt so bad that they hadn't, you know, fed the dog. They hadn't taken proper care of the dog, that he fasted. He himself fasted. But the next day when they reached Puri, they saw the dog with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shivananda Sen, out of his humility, offered obeisances to the dog. And he also felt that he had been an offender because he had neglected to serve the dog properly. And the dog was eating the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the next day, Shivananda Sen came again. He couldn't see the dog. But he knew, you know, within his heart, he knew that the dog had gone back home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the strength of the mercy of the devotee, that by the mercy of the devotee, one gets the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the end, one go back home, back to Godhead. Text 2. Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Prabhu And all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas. The description of Lord Chaitanya as the gardener and the tree is inconceivable. Now hear with attention about the branches of this tree. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were many, but none of them should be considered lower or higher. This cannot be ascertained. All the great personalities in the line of Lord Chaitanya enumerated these devotees, but they could not distinguish between the greater and the lesser. I offer my obeisances unto them as a token of respect. I request them not to consider my offenses. Text 7. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Premamara Taror Priyan Sakarupan Bhaktaganam Krishna Prema Phala Pradan. I offer my obeisances to all the dear devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the eternal tree of love of Godhead. I offer my respects to all the branches of the tree, the devotees of the Lord who distribute the fruit of love of Godhead. Text 8. Srivas Pandit Ara Sri Rama Pandit Dui Bai Dui Saka Jagate Vidita. Translation. The two brothers, Srivas Pandit and Sri Ram Pandit, started two branches that are well known in the world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Gauranga Deepika 90, Srivas Pandit, Srivas Thakur, is described as an incarnation of Narada Muni. And Sri Ram Pandit, his younger brother, is said to be an incarnation of Parvata Muni, a great friend of Narada's. Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini, is celebrated as an incarnation of the nurse Ambika, who fed Lord Krishna with her breast milk. And as already noted, his niece Narayani, the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, was the sister of Ambika in Krishna Lila. We also understand from the description of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of the sannyas order, Srivas Pandit left Navadvip, possibly because of feelings of separation, and domiciled at Kumarahatta. So Kumarahatta is also a very important place. Srivas Thakur resided there. That is the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met his guru, Ishwara Puri. Actually, it's Ishwara Puri's birthplace. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there on pilgrimage to visit the birthplace of his guru. And he took dirt from the ground there. And he kept it in his cloth, and every day he would eat a little bit of the dirt. So it is said from the commentaries that this indicates that every disciple should visit the birthplace of his spiritual master. So when I was in Calcutta last November, His Holiness Radhanath Swami and I visited Srila Prabhupada's birthplace in Calcutta. It's said that Prabhupada took birth under a jackfruit tree. So we visited the jackfruit tree. And just there, actually the devotees of ISKCON have somehow acquired those rooms that belonged to
Srila Prabhupada's mother's family. And we also saw the deities that his mother would visit. You can imagine that she was praying for the child in her womb, and then after he was born, she and all the family members were praying for his well-being. So that was a nice experience to visit that place. Text 9. Shri Pati Shri Nidhi Tanra Dui Sohadara Chari Bhaira Dasa Dasi Griha Parikara. Their two brothers were named Shri Pati and Shri Nidhi. These four brothers and their servants and maidservants are considered one big branch. Dui sakara upasakaya tan sabara ganana yanra grihe mahaprabhura sada sankirtana. There is no counting the sub-branches of these two branches. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held congregational chanting daily at the house of Srivas Pandit. So this Sankirtan that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed at Srivas Angam is very significant. In fact, there is a correlation between the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the pastimes of Krishna. And the nocturnal kirtans at Srivas Angam are considered to be the counterpart of the Rasa Leela in Krishna Leela, in Gaura Leela. It was the highest ecstasy. And in order for the confidential devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be able to enter deeply into the kirtan and to relish the mellows of the kirtan without any disturbance, Srivas Thakur would lock the door to his house so only the most confidential devotees could attend. Srila Prabhupada comments that to spread Krishna consciousness, we open the doors to our temples and we let everyone in to participate at the kirtan. And it has been effective, you know, by the potency of the Sankirtan movement. But this particular kirtan that was held at night at Srivas Thakur's home was reserved just for the most intimate devotees, so that they would be free to experience ecstasy and manifest their ecstasy. And that we can only do in the association of devotees. We don't do that if there are outsiders. Once Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Garga Muni who told Prabhupada that sometimes in the kirtan he felt like crying. Sometimes he would cry in the kirtan. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, because you're chanting with devotees and they will understand. Otherwise we don't. Text 11. Chari bhai savangse kare chaitanyara seva gora chandra vina nahe jane devi deva. These four brothers and their family members fully engaged in the service of Lord Chaitanya. They knew no other god or goddess. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Anya devashraya nahi tomara kahinubai
a bhakti karma karana. If one wants to become a pure, staunch devotee, one should not take shelter of any of the demigods or goddesses. Now, this is an important point. An important point, especially for Hindus who are used to worshiping gods and goddesses. Sometimes, even if they come into the association of devotees and hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and understand it to some extent, they are reluctant to give up their worship of demigods. They feel that, you know, our ancestors have worshipped demigods. Sometimes there are deities that have been passed through the generations in the family, and they're afraid of displeasing the deity, that if they stop the worship, Lord Shiva might be displeased, or Durga might be displeased, or whoever it is. But according to the Bhagavad Gita, one should not worship gods and goddesses, but one should take full shelter of Krishna. And that is such an important qualification. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami could have given so many descriptions of the glories of Srivast Thakur and his family. But out of so many things he could have said, what did he say? That they did not worship any devas or devis. They had full faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 5,000 years earlier, Lord Krishna exhibited the pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. The residents of Vrindavan were used to worshipping Indra, who is the king of heaven, the demigod in charge of rainfall. Now, due to some false pride and illusion, Indra became angry that his worship was stopped. Lord Krishna instructed the Vrajavasis to take the paraphernalia that they had gathered for the Indra Yajna and use it to worship Govardhan Hill and the cows and the Brahmanas. And because they had simple faith in Lord Krishna, they did what he said. And what was the result? Even though Indra became angry and sent torrents of rain to inundate Vrindavan, Lord Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill and held it up as an umbrella for all the residents of Vrindavan. And the result was that they were able to be with Krishna 24/7. Under ordinary circumstances, every day they would be with him for some time, but for some time they would be separated. During the early morning, Krishna and Balaram would be with their mother and father, but then they would go out to the fields to tend to the cows, so their parents would be separated from them. And all of the residents of the village of Vrindavan would be separated during the day. Only the cowherd boys would be with them. But then in the evening, when Krishna came back from the pasturing grounds, he would again enter his home, and he would be with Nanda and Yashoda and others there, and take rest at night, and then he would be separated from the cowherd boys. And then in the middle of the night, he would sneak out to meet the gopis. And then he would sneak back before his mother would come to wake him up in the morning. So there was constant meeting and separation. And the separation was terrible because the residents of Vrindavan had so much love for Krishna. When Krishna would return from the pasturing grounds in the late afternoon, and the gopis would look at him, they would curse the creator, Brahma, because he created eyelids. Because when their eyes would blink, because of, they had so much attachment for Krishna, anurag, that when their eyelids would blink, that separation from the sight of Krishna to them felt like yugas, felt like thousands of years. But during the Govardhan Leela, they could be with Krishna continuously. The gopis, the elder cowherd men and ladies, and the cowherd boys, the servants, the animals, they all got to be with Krishna continuously. So they didn't lose by giving up their worship of Indra and following Krishna's instruction to worship Govardhan Hill. They didn't lose. So if we give up the worship of demigods or goddesses to take fully to the service of Krishna, we won't lose. Rather, we will gain. Coming back to the kirtan at Srivas Thakur's home, because he would lock the doors, people would become angry. It's described some of them would burn with envy because they were not allowed. So one such person was a Brahmin named Gopal Chappu. And Gopal Chappu, he was very angry that he was denied entry. So he assembled the paraphernalia of the worship of the goddess Bhavani, Durga. And he put it outside Srivas Thakur's door to defame him. Because generally the worshippers of the goddess Bhavani or Durga or Kali are considered lower class. They drink wine and eat meat and so on. And for a Vaishnav, these things, you know, taking alcohol or eating meat are like anathema. So he wanted to defame Srivas Thakur by putting that paraphernalia outside of his door. So in the morning, when Srivas Thakur opened the door and he saw all the paraphernalia, he immediately called for all the respectable Brahmins to come and see. And he said, just see, here is the paraphernalia for the worship of Bhavani. And there's like a banana leaf and some rice and red sandalwood paste. And beside all of it, there was a jug of wine. So he said, now you all respectable gentlemen of the village, you can see my actual position, who I really am, and now you can take whatever action you like. So of course they knew what had happened, that some envious person had done that to desecrate his house. So they called for a hadi. In Bengali language it said hadi, to like sweep up and dispose of all those untouchable things. And then they put cow dung, sprinkled water and cow dung there to purify the place. So that the next day, that the following day, Gopal Chappu was afflicted with leprosy. This is also the power of a devotee, that one who offends a pure devotee, or any devotee, one who offends any devotee suffers. And that is also the Lord's mercy, first on his devotee, because it's by punishing the offenders that he protects his devotees. It's also good for the offenders so that they realize their mistake. So Gopal Chappu was like burning with leprosy. There was like liquid oozing out from his skin, and I guess worms and other creatures were eating from his skin, and it was a terrible situation. So one morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked by, and Gopal Chappu appealed to him that, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have come to deliver the fallen souls. I'm very fallen and wretched, so please deliver me." Of course, it's true. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did come to deliver the fallen souls, but he really came to deliver them from material existence altogether by distribution of the holy name and Krishna prema. Golokara prema dan harinam sankirtana, that he brought the holy name and he delivered all who were sinful and fallen. Examples are Jagai and Madhai. But although this Gopal was very, he was like rude and envious and insulting, but it seemed that he did have one good quality, that he was simple, that he accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he had faith that he could deliver him. So he appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have said, you know, he called him a sinner. And he said, "Because of your sins, you are suffering." And that's a fact. Whatever suffering we experience in the world is due to our sins. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains that suffering is due to sin, and sin is due to ignorance. So the only way to really become free from suffering is to become free from ignorance. In other words, to become enlightened in devotional service and engage in devotional service and ultimately go back to God. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you have offended a pure devotee. That is the worst of all sins. And I will be happy if you suffer from leprosy for millions of lifetimes. I'll be happy if you burn in hellish conditions for millions of lifetimes, because you have offended my pure devotee. But then he said, if you approach Srivas Thakur and get his mercy, you can be delivered from the effects of your sins, of your offenses. And that is the only way to be relieved from Vaishnava Aparada. It's the recommended way. It's the fastest way. Is that you go to the Vaishnava whom you've offended and throw yourself at his feet and beg for forgiveness. So Srivas, when Gopal Champu did that with Srivas Pandit, he did. He forgave him. And thus Gopal Champu was relieved. Then there was another devotee. He was a very strict brahmachari. He was very austere. He would only eat milk. And he repeatedly begged Srivas Pandit, please allow me to witness the Sankirtan at your house at night. And he just repeatedly pleaded and begged and cajoled him. And so finally Srivas Thakur thought, okay, well, he's very sincere, he's very pure. He's a brahmachari, he only eats milk. So he arranged for him to hide in the house during the kirtan. And during that kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his other associates did not experience their usual ecstasy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, is there someone here who's not supposed to be here? They said, no, no, it's all the same people. No one here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's someone here who's not supposed to be here. Otherwise, why is our ecstasy not coming as usual? So eventually, Srivas Thakur had to come out with the brahmachari. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really chastised him and said, you cannot get Krishna by drinking milk. You know, you are not qualified to be here. You should not be here. You go out. You don't become qualified by drinking milk. But the brahmachari took it in good spirits. He took it as the mercy of the Lord, and it was the Lord's mercy to correct him and make him understand what the actual qualification is. Then there was another man. He was denied entry. So he was very angry. He was very angry. So I guess the next morning, when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a Brahmin. He liked to curse people. So when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took out his Brahmin thread and wrapped it around his thumb, and he cursed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you will never enjoy any material happiness. You'll never enjoy any happiness in this world. And he broke his Brahmin's thread. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the curse, he became ecstatic. He took it as a blessing. I won't have any material enjoyment. That's a blessing. And he began to dance in ecstasy. As we read in the beginning, Prabhupada said that even the cats and dogs in Srivas Thakur's house were delivered. It's there. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that anyone in the household of Srivas Thakur is dear to me, even as cats and dogs. So Srivas Thakur had a Muslim tailor. We also have a Muslim tailor in the Juhu temple, Abdul. He sews our cloth. So Srivas Thakur, he also had a Muslim tailor who would sew the cloth of his family members and associates. And he lived nearby Srivas Angan. So one day he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant and dance in ecstasy all the time, not just at night in the private kirtans, but all the time. So the tailor, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, became very attracted by the Lord's beauty and ecstasy. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself to the tailor. And then the tailor started to shout something like, "Deki, Deki, I have seen, I have seen." And he also danced in ecstasy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyone who takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be delivered. It doesn't matter. I mean, you could be a Brahmin, you could be a Brahmachari, you could drink only milk. That's not the qualification. You could be a Muslim, Yavana. But if you take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or his devotees, he was actually a servant of Shiva's Pandit, you can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get love for Krishna. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstatic mood, he asked Srivas Thakur, "Please bring me my flute," because he was in the mood of being Krishna. So Srivas Thakur said, "I cannot bring your flute because the gopis have stolen it." And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he became very ecstatic. He said, "Please say more, please say more." And Srivas Thakur began to describe the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please say more, please say more." So then he described more, how Krishna played on his flute and the gopis wandered in the Vrindavan forest. He said, "Please say more, please say more." He gradually was telling more and more of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, told the Ras Leela. That way they stayed up the whole night. They didn't sleep the whole night. And Srivas Thakur just kept describing the pastimes of Krishna with the residents of Vrindavan. So these are some of the earlier pastimes when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided in Navadvip. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, eventually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left Navadvip and settled in Jagannath Puri. And then Srivas Thakur, he also moved, perhaps out of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, moved to Kumarhatta. But as I mentioned, every year Shivananda Sen would lead a party of the devotees from Bengal to Orissa to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and participate in the Rath Yatra and stay for the 4 months of the rainy season, Chaturmasya. So one year when Srivas Thakur came to observe Rath Yatra, he was near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarva Damodar Goswami, all the intimate associates, and they saw the Hirapanchami festival. The Hirapanchami is a very special festival. You know the system, that 2 weeks before the Rath Yatra, they have Snan Yatra, where they bathe Lord Jagannath. And then Lord Jagannath retires to his private quarters, and for 2 weeks he doesn't see the devotees. And sometimes it's said that he catches a cold from the Snan Yatra, So Lakshmi, his wife, serves him very faithfully for 2 weeks and gives him all these like drinks and things to help him recover, feel better. But then after 2 weeks, Lord Jagannath, he feels separation from all the other devotees. So he wants to go out. And so he goes out. He wants to see his devotees in Vrindavan. So he goes out on the chariot to Sundarachal. Neelachal is considered to be like Dwarka. And Sundarachal, which is just down the road where the Gundicha temple is considered to be Vrindavan. So he wanted to go to Vrindavan to reciprocate with his devotees in Vrindavan. So the day before the Rath Yatra is Gundicha Marjana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees would thoroughly clean the temple. And then the next day would be the Rath Yatra. And then for about 1 week, Lord Jagannath would stay in the Gundicha temple. But after maybe 4 or 5 days, Lakshmi, she becomes impatient. Like, you know, where's my husband? He said he was just going out for a ride. Where is he? You know, he should be back. So she becomes very angry, and she takes her servants with her in her own chariot, her palanquin, and she goes to Sundarachal, and she sends her servants to berate the servants of Lord Jagannath. And they really like abuse them and use strong language, and they actually beat them. Lakshmi's servants actually beat the servants of Lord Jagannath. They say, "You tell your master he better come home. You know, I'm waiting for him." So while this pastime is going on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Saurabh Damodar Goswami and Srivas Thakur, they have a discussion. And because Srivas Thakur is the incarnation of Narada Muni, he has some attraction for Narayan and Vaikuntha, because Narada Muni is a devotee of Narayan and Vaikuntha. So he is very excited to see Lakshmi and see how powerful Lakshmi is. Her servants just, you know, they just manhandle Jagannath's servants. Jagannath's servants can't even stand up to her servants. She can order Jagannath, "You come back, and, you know, I'm not going to tolerate this any longer." So when Srivas Thakur started glorifying the opulence of Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha and Lakshmi, Saurabh Damodar Goswami, who is actually the incarnation of Lalita Devi, one of Radharani's most confidential girlfriends. So he said to Srivas Thakur, "I think you're getting influenced by Lord Narayan's opulences, but actually the opulence of Vaikuntha is nothing compared to the opulence of Vrindavan." And he quoted some verses from Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakarasadmasu kalpavriksha lakshavritesu surabhi ravipalayantam. You know, Lakshmi sahasra sata sambrahma sevyamanam. But Govinda, Krishna, the cowherd boy, is served by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis in the form of gopis. In fact, these these gopis are considered super Lakshmis. The Lakshmis in Vaikuntha are just expansions of the gopis. And Chintamani, all these houses are made of Chintamani stones. The trees are Kalpavriksha, wish-fulfilling desire trees. And the cows are Surabhi cows. They deliver oceans of nectar like milk. So actually the opulence of Vrindavan is greater than the opulence of Vaikuntha. But the special quality of Vrindavan is that the opulence is covered by a very exquisite sweetness that is so powerful that the devotees in Vrindavan, the pure devotees in Vrindavan, forget that Krishna is God. They don't even think that he's God. Because in Vaikuntha, the relationship between Lord Narayan and his devotees is one of servitorship, dasyaras. Or there's some sort of friendship, but it's mixed with servitorship. It's friendship, but with respect, not equality. Whereas in Vrindavan, the devotees are able to enjoy very ecstatic, intimate relationships of love with Krishna because they're able to forget that Krishna is God. If they were conscious that Krishna is God, the cowherd boys could never play with Krishna as equals like they do. Like sometimes Krishna and the cowherd boys sport, they have competition, and if Krishna loses, then he has to carry the other cowherd boy on his shoulders. This is like unheard of in Vaikuntha. This would cause a scandal in Vaikuntha. Someone got up on Lord Narayan's shoulders. Immediately be expelled from Vaikuntha. And the parents, Nanda and Yashoda, and the others like Ambika, this is very important. Ambika is one of Krishna's nurses in Vrindavan. She suckles Krishna. And Malini Srivast Thakur's wife is an incarnation of Ambika. So she had that maternal mood. So they feel that Krishna, that they have to take care of Krishna. Not only the cowherd boys feel that they're equals, but the elders, they feel that Krishna is dependent on them. In that sense, they're superiors, they're elders. Krishna's dependent on him. Factually, Krishna is providing everything for everyone. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. He is the one eternal being out of so many eternal beings. And he is the one conscious entity out of so many conscious entities. Ego yo vidudati kama. But he is providing the necessities. That one single eternal conscious being is providing all the necessities, fulfilling all the desires of the many plural eternal conscious entities. So he's providing for everyone, but still Mother Yasoda is thinking, he's my son. If I don't feed him, he will starve. So she can only think that way if her affection for him as a mother is stronger than her awareness of his opulence as the Lord. Most of the time she forgets. She doesn't even think he's the Lord. Most of the time,
all of the residents of Vrindavan forget. But even if he does something that reminds them, like when Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, all the, like the elder cowherd men, they told Nanda Maharaj that, you know, your Krishna is not an ordinary person. You know, he lifted a whole mountain and held it up for 7 days. He's not an ordinary person. He might be a demigod. He might be, might even be Lord Narayan himself. They weren't sure. Ananda Maharaj, he heard what, and they were saying, you shouldn't chastise him. You know, he's not an ordinary person. You shouldn't chastise him. But then Ananda Maharaj started to think of Krishna's childhood pastimes at home. And he became overwhelmed with that paternal affection. And he was thinking all the times that Krishna got frightened, and all the times Krishna got hungry, and all the times Krishna did mischief. He couldn't. How could he be a demigod? How could he be God? You know, even yogis, they can control their senses. I mean, you can't be a yogi unless you can control your senses. He can't control his senses at all. If he's hungry and he wants food and Mother Yasoda doesn't feed him, he has a fit, you know. And so thinking of Krishna's childhood pastimes, human-like behavior, Narlila, he became overwhelmed with parental affection. And then all the, speaking in that way, all the other cowherd men, they also were overwhelmed with parental affection. And they forgot that Krishna is God. They forgot. Once Mother Yashoda looked into Krishna's mouth, it was actually his birthday. And so he had gone to, it's called now Brahmandagat, and he was playing with his friends. And so Mother Yasoda came to call him. He said, you know, it's time for you to come home. And besides, it's your birthday. You have to take bath, and your father's waiting for you, and you have to have your meals. So the other cowherd friends complained to her that Krishna had eaten dirt. Like some times it happens. When they're a certain age, they just put anything in their mouth. So Krishna said, no, I didn't. He said, but they said you did. So they're lying. We were playing and I was winning, and they wanted to take revenge now. They want to get me in trouble. My Mother Yasoda said, but even your brother Balaram says you ate dirt. I said, no. If you have any doubt, you can look in my mouth and see. So Krishna opened his mouth and Mother Yasoda looked inside, and there she saw all the universes. She saw past, present, and future. She saw all the mystic perfections. She saw everything. She saw herself. She saw herself looking into Krishna's mouth, inside of his mouth. And she became like completely bewildered. Her mind was reeling. She didn't know what was happening. She thought maybe she was like having hallucinations or something. Oh, okay, close your mouth. But still, she thought Krishna is her son. It's just like if someone were to say someone someone were to become a high court judge, and so, but for the mother, it's he's still her son. So it's like that. Oh, my son is God? Oh, I'm very proud. My son is God. He's still my son. That's the main thing. So, that's Raja Bhakti. So, in this discussion, Sarup Damodar was glorifying the opulence of Vrindavan, but that opulence is covered by the sweetness of these very intimate relationships in which the devotees forget that Krishna is God. And to reciprocate with his devotees, Krishna also forgets that he's God. When Mother Yasoda lifts the stick to Krishna and Krishna becomes afraid, he's not pretending. He actually feels like he's a child, and he actually feels afraid. Mother Yasoda. And Queen Kunti, in her prayers to Krishna, she says in one verse that Krishna, that she sees this image of Krishna, that Mother Yasoda is standing with the stick and Krishna is crying and rubbing his eyes, which have black mascara around them. And because of the tears, that mascara, the kajal, is like streaming down his cheeks. But that same Krishna, fear personified, is afraid of Krishna. It's described in the Bhagavatam that Yamaraj, everyone is afraid of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is afraid of Krishna. So Krishna, everyone is afraid of Krishna, but Krishna is afraid of the stick of Mother Yashoda. So thinking of this contradiction, she becomes bewildered. So these are all very transcendental topics. They're not easy to understand. Even though we have theoretical knowledge, but still we tend to identify with the body and act on the basis of the body and I and mine. But by hearing, that's also the process, by hearing we become purified. And attracted, we hope to be attracted, that we can also enter Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, ultimately Krishna's pastimes, not these temporary affairs and temporary relationships. One night, during the kirtan at Srivasangan, one of Srivas Thakur's sons died. So naturally, his wife, Srivas Thakur's wife, Malini, was distraught. Srivas Thakur said, "You keep quiet. We can't disturb the kirtan. Mahaprabhu is doing kirtan, can't disturb it." So, nobody said anything to Mahaprabhu. And then after that kirtan, the full night of kirtan was over, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course he's God, so he knew everything, but after the kirtan ended, he said, "Is there anything wrong? Did any calamity take place here?" And then Srivas Thakur said, "My son died." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Why didn't you tell me?" So then he went into the room where the body of the son was, and he spoke to the son. He said, "Why are you leaving Srivas Thakur's home?" And the son replied, I am allowed to stay here only as long as my destiny permits. Now my time here is up, so I have to go to my next destination. So wherever you want me to go, I will go. I have no power beyond following your order. Now, by this exchange between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivas Pandit's dead son, everyone in the household was enlightened with spiritual knowledge. I mean, we know from the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Dehino Sminyata Dehe Komaram Yovanam Jara Tata Dehantara Prabhu Diras Tatra Namuyate, that just as the soul, just as the body, the person actually changes body in the same lifetime. He has a baby's body, then a youth's body, then an old man's body. Similarly, at the time of death, the soul just takes on another body. And diras tatra namuyate, those who are sober, they are not bewildered by such a change. And other, that the body is like dress, just as this, just as someone puts on, discards the old and useless dress and puts on new dress. Similarly, when the body is old and useless, the soul leaves it and takes on a new body. And of course, ultimately, everything is under the control of the Lord, especially in the case of devotees. Everything is under the personal control of the Lord. So those principles were manifested in that exchange. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srivas Thakur and Malini that you have lost one son, but Nitai and I, we will become your sons. So you will have two sons in place of the one. Now this is also very significant. As it is, we know that Malini was, because she was in the mood of a mother, nurse. But more than that, it was that if you just surrender to Krishna and offer everything to Krishna, you won't lose, but you'll gain. You know, they lost one son who was, encaged in a temporary body, a physical body, but they got two sons who are eternal. So Srila Prabhupada says that instead of being absorbed in these relationships, temporary relationships that last only as long as the body, at most, we should rather develop our relationship with Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That will be eternal and blissful and full of knowledge. So, and that process is effected by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, offenseless chanting, Chaito Darpano Marjanam. Chanting offenseless chanting, attentive chanting, it cleanses all the dust from the mirror of the mind. And one is able to realize one's constitutional position as eternal servant of Krishna, eternal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, one does one's duty. That's another thing, one does one's duty, but one's heart is
really into one's relationship with God, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srivas Thakur Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that Srivas Thakur would never go out to earn anything for his family. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, you stay at home, you never even go out to beg alms, you know, how, and you have a big family. How are you going to maintain your family if you never go out? And Srivas Thakur said, I don't want to go out. I don't like to go out. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, well, then you should take sannyas. You know, if you're not going to maintain your family, then you should take sannyas. You can't just stay at home. And Srivas Thakur said, I'm not ready for sannyas. I don't have the strength to take sannyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well then, how are you going to maintain your family? So Srivas Thakur clapped his hands loudly 3 times. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is that? What does that mean? So Srivas Thakur said, well, if once I don't get food, if no one brings food, or somehow if I don't get food, I'll fast. If it happens a second time, I'll fast. And it happens a third time, I'll tie a water pot to my neck and drown myself in the Ganges. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he became furious. He said, Srivas Thakur, don't you know that in the Bhagavad Gita I say yoga kshema gajamyaham, that anyone whose mind is fixed on me, I will provide whatever he needs, I'll preserve what he has and carry what he lacks? How could you even think that you would have to clap your hands 3 times? That you would have to pass 3 times? You, not even once will you be lacking. That even if the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, becomes poverty stricken, even if she becomes a beggar, but your house will never be in want. I will personally bring you whatever you need. Now, of course, that is true, but that constant remembrance is not so easy. But if one comes to that stage of constantly meditating on Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without deviation, what the Lord will bring whatever one needs. In that stage, it means one is completely dependent on the Lord. So, yayatam mam prapadyante, as one surrenders to the Lord, he reciprocates. You know, if we think I have to make my own arrangement, then the Lord will think, okay, well, he's making his own arrangement. I don't have to worry about him. Or to whatever extent, you know, to whatever extent we're surrendered. Of course, it could be said that the culture then was more conducive to a Brahminical way of life. But Lord Chaitanya said, there's that also that famous story of the Brahmin. He was reading the Bhagavad Gita, and when he came to that verse where Krishna says that those who meditate on me without deviation, yoga kshema bhajamyaham, I preserve what they have and carry what they lack. The Brahmin thought, well, no, I mean, he might send it through somebody, but he won't personally come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, I will personally come if need be. So the Brahmin, he had like a red marker. So he scratched out that vahamyaham, that I personally will come, Krishna personally will come. So then he went out to beg alms. I mean, there are different ways that Brahmins maintain themselves, but that's one way they go out and beg alms. So while he was gone, this young boy came to the house with I forget what you call them, but it's like a stick, and then on each end there are baskets. And those baskets were full of rice, dal, atta, ghee, vegetables, everything. And the boy was like such a heavy load, he could hardly carry it. He just managed to make it to the doorway. So the lady of the house, the Brahmani, she said, oh, please come in. You know, oh no, first, she said, who are you? He said, oh, your husband sent me. I brought all these things for you. So, you know, he'll be coming home. You should cook a nice feast for him because he'll be hungry. So she cooked a big feast. And she said, now you should also stay. You know, you've taken all this trouble. You should also stay. She said, no, if I delay too long, your husband will become angry with me. So I will have to go. And then when he turned around to leave, she saw these like wound marks on his back where there was like red blood. And he left. So the husband came back eventually, and he was like very dejected. He was very dejected. And he said, you know, I tried all day long. Not one person would give me anything. I couldn't get even one grain of rice. I think we will have to fast today. She said, no, you sent that boy with so many provisions. I've already made a big feast. No, I didn't send any boy. Said, yes, you did. He was here. He brought all these things. I asked him to stay, but he said if he delays, you'll get angry with him. So, you know, he saw all the things. Then he thought, you know, he thought of what he did with the Bhagavad Gita. So he said, bring me my Bhagavad Gita. So he looked in the Bhagavad Gita to that place where he, with the red ink, he had cut that word. He saw the red ink was gone. And then he said, well, describe this boy then. You know, she described, and then he understood, yeah, it was Krishna. And then she said, it was very peculiar that when he left, there were these red marks on his back. And then he understood that, like, by cutting those words from the Bhagavad Gita, it was like he was cutting the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita is the Lord himself. And he understood that Krishna had come personally. Yogakshema Vajamyam. And so that is a high level of Krishna consciousness, to be always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna without deviation. But that's our goal. And the more we have faith in Krishna, the more we'll be able to chant and hear about Krishna with attention. We won't be distracted because we're worrying, you know, where's the money going to come from? How am I going to pay the bills? And so many things, so many anxieties. So as we develop more faith in Krishna, which means we're able to surrender more to Krishna, we can surrender more to the process of bhakti yoga, surrender more to the holy name, chanting and hearing the glories, engaging in the service of the Vaishnavas, and Krishna will take care. Krishna will take care. So we have much to learn from the example of Srivas Thakur and his dealings with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the members of the Panchatattva and all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the members of the Chaitanya tree. Devotees never go hungry. They don't. They just never go hungry. Once I asked one of Prabhupada's senior disciples, this is many years ago, like, in that sort of mood that Krishna consciousness is so nice, as chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy, no anxiety. And so I said, you know, is there any austerity in Krishna consciousness? And what's the austerity in Krishna consciousness? He said, the austerity is that people offer us too much to eat. To please them, we have to eat more than we might want.